Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, with Lucy Freeman, and with Mr. Newby. Just changing alphabet. Before we
Who
dive
else is
in,
it with?
Just was trying to be a bit more spontaneous, okay. Lucy, but I couldn't think of anything more imaginative than that. Just added a with. Before we dive in, let's remind ourselves of what happened last week with Lucy's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Krusty trying to punish herself yet again by ferreting about looking in a hedge for brown streaks. Honestly, look in any child's washing basket and you'll find shed loads. Krusty was in a right grump, not helped by Roy, who didn't seem to want to be there but didn't want to piss off either. So between them, they had a lovely time. Ben and Beth had a lovely time at the Premier Inn in Hounslow. They thought it was Tower Bridge, God love them, but it was the flyover. Jennifer seemed surprised that her 18-year-old bisexual adopted son, who has just been released from the medieval grip of Borchester, does not have time to call her and only texts. Well, you see, here's the thing, Jennifer. In Borchester, gay night involves Jack's Cafe playing Mariah Carey very softly while two of Fabrice's stylists hold hands under the table. I doubt very much Rory has even seen the inside of his own room since he left. He's probably still wearing the clothes he arrived in. He's covered in glitter. His eyeballs are pointing in two different directions and he can't walk straight. Tony and Adam ganged up on one of the cows and told it was fat. And she told them she was just bloated. It was near her period. And anyway, she had a bubbly personality. Then they, Tony and Adam, discussed how miserable Morris was. Tony and Adam. Jenny, Darling and Brian were away in London for his birthday. He would have been very happy with what he usually has, said Adam. Bottle of Crianza in front of the Great Escape and a quick Borchester bounce with Jenny on the kitchen worktop while she worried about smearing the granite. Careful, Brian, it's going everywhere. Elizabeth seemed keen to force a brooch on Clary. So keen, in fact, I was beginning to think it was pinched and she was trying to fence it. The brooch was given to Elizabeth by Nigel and featured the Pargeter family crest, which boasts a hooray rampant over an ice cream van and the motto, Pratus Dominat. Elizabeth patronised Clary to death about the brooch, and Eddie said Clary must take it, largely because he was planning on sticking it on eBay before the door had closed behind Elizabeth. No one listened to Clary except little Mia, who then stayed around to listen while they had an entirely private domestic discussion. Pat remembered she had goats and fed them. They must have been bloody starving. They'd already eaten through the barn wall and were living off organic curly-whirlies from the Bridge Farm shop. Life imitates art, and God now thinks he's Linda Snell. With fiendish cunning, Roy persuaded Linda to take the role, and Krusty can now retire back into the village hall loose to have a good cry. Hang on. For some reason, we're now back at not knowing where to have the flipping vow renewal. Surely we didn't know where to have it, so we picked Gay Grables, and then we cancelled Gay Grables, and now we don't know where to have it again. I'm a big fan of recycling, but the same storyline on Monday and Thursday is a bit much. Our sitting room is not quite as romantic as Gay Grables, said Eddie thoughtfully. But what doesn't say romance like a ferret cage next to a pile of unopened electricity bills and a half-eaten pork pie? Well, apparently a cider shed doesn't, or rather does. Yes, poor old bonkers Oliver has decided that a bit of winter greenery and some fairy lights will transform a smelly shed filled with heavy machinery and rotting fruit. And the rest of them, because they're all mad, decided he was right. Without once, I note, consulting Clary again. Yeah. But the best bit of the week was Natasha Cloppy and Pat Sandals tearing chunks off each other. I like to imagine them facing off so close that Natasha could have picked the bits of kale out from Pat's front teeth. It all started right because Pat said Natasha had told Fallon to do something without checking with her. And Pat was like, this is my house, actually, Natasha. And Natasha was like, yeah, yeah, I know that because I know you never even like wanted me here. And Pat said, I so did. And Natasha said, no, you like didn't. And Tom doesn't even like you anyway either. So I'm going off to Sawyer's to be with Morris and his massive sausage. God, it's Meghan Markle all over again, but with more meat products. But I loved it. The end.
I hadn't thought about Natasha and Tom as the Meghan and Harry of the show.
Well, exactly, yes.
But they are, aren't they? They
are, yes.
Oh, my God. They're going to be leaving the family fold.
They'll be leaving the family fold. Clopping well, they off. Will, because and then everyone will blame her, and then they'll be on Oprah. That's what'll happen.
Yeah, but why didn't she just go to Sawyer's in the first place? Why didn't anybody consider that she was going to have to build a massive building?
Yes.
But Morris used to be a character, didn't he? He has been
yes.
in it before,
yes, he has.
Hasn't he? Because I was like, Morris, Morris. And then I remembered he was like this, wasn't he? A bit, was he from Birmingham? And
yes, he was quite morose.
A bit like Eeyore. Yeah,
yes, yeah.
Yeah, I just, and actually I remember him being a really quite a sweet, funny character.
Yes, because they went through a weird phase of suddenly introducing. He suddenly got a slot and someone else suddenly got a slot as well who we hadn't heard from before. And we were all hoping Morris was going to be in it for longer and then he wasn't.
Yeah, just weird. I just had a vague recollection. But it was quite funny, actually, when they would talk. It's funny when they suddenly talk about other people because they suddenly become real, almost like real people because they're going, oh, my God,
yeah.
You know what Morris did. And because we don't know, it's sort of like, oh, they have another life. Do you know what I mean? It just sort of, I don't know, I quite enjoy those bits.
Yes.
When, you know, when they were talking about Morris slagging off someone else, it felt really likely.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Although I do, yes, but you're right. It was Adam and Tony calling Morris
God, what a bore. Cheek. What a cheek. Anyway, what did we think about Natasha and...
Natasha, I loved it.
Because I loved it as well.
I was getting so angry with Pat.
Yeah.
Who was like... Oh, what do you mean, corrugated iron? Because
yeah.
I sort of thought, well, did you? How can you not have thought that, you know, sorry, in what part of Natasha bringing her business over here?
Yeah.
I mean, Pat was clearly like us and thought she was just bringing her laptop.
Yeah.
Not like an industrial warehouse.
Yeah.
Anyway, there were so many things I was hating about Pat anyway. And then I thought, oh, my God, Natasha's going to lie, just sort of take it.
Mm.
And then when she went for the kill, I was like, yes. And I was so glad when she said, well, why don't you ask Tom what he thinks about, you know, you being proud of him or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. Because actually, Pat and Tony are so bloody smug, aren't
yes,
they, in a way?
They really are. Yeah.
They're so obsessed with the farm, other than anything else.
Well, it's interesting, Natasha and Pat, because they are both...
Feisty.
I hate the word feisty because it's only ever used by men about women. Right. But anyway.
Sorry. I forgot you're grown up in the 70s.
In my hairy armpits, yes. But they're both... powerful women.
Powerful.
They both like their own way. And they are both attracted to?
Dickheads.
Well, men that are easily manipulated. Or but do as they're told, ultimately. And yes. And, you know, it was really interesting seeing that sort of... You could imagine the narrowed eyes and the... You know, it was a fight over territory. That's what it was. There was another alpha female in the tribe and Pat does not like it.
No, but and it was interesting that Natasha was like, you loved the idea of me coming, but actually, you know, that you can't,
as
you
soon
despise
as,
the reality.
Yeah, and as soon as you can't control it, you don't like it.
Yeah.
Because Pat had said, oh, she can go here. And Natasha had said, no, I'm not going there, wherever it was.
They're both stupid, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Because, of course, in the real world, there would have been a meeting. And it's like, obviously, if Natasha's going to build in that orchard, Fallon was not going to go, oh, okay, a great, crack on, you know.
Yeah.
So why hadn't they discussed?
I mean, they have a meeting before they open a new pack of biscuits. So they didn't have a meeting about something this important, I don't know. God's sake.
They are silly. But actually, it was interesting that they brought up that there was a little bit of Tom feeling undermined this week
by Adam when they were deferring to Adam.
Yes, and then. But it all actually coming back to John, ultimately, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I wonder if that's why Pat and Tony are so obsessed with the farm and the future of the farm. And because it's like preserving, I don't know, maybe because it had to become their number one focus after John. Yeah. I don't know. I just sort of thought maybe that's why
and
they're so
dogged. And it was
so
his place.
Dogged.
It was the only place they ever knew him. So
yes.
It has to be successful. It has to... not
but poor
change.
Tom, if he feels he's always lived under that shadow of being, you know, the sort of ignored third child.
Well, and also you have that thing which is survivor guilt, which therapists talk about a lot, you know. Why wasn't it me? Why did I must have been left to survive for some... I must have not been me for some important purpose.
Well, also he can never...
And if I'm if I'm just a fairly average person, then, oh dear, that's not my purpose then, is it?
And John will have become... You know,
deified practically.
Yes, exactly. So you could never be as good as what he could have been.
No,
I thought it was quite interesting because usually I find Tom, you know, so irritating. But I did actually feel a bit of sympathy for him this week.
Yeah. Yes, me too. And I liked Mia stepping in.
Really?
And saying, well, no, I was just glad somebody did.
Yeah,
but then she ought to have sodded off, but she just stayed there. Because when they were having this intimate conversation, and then Maya would go, and then what, Mary? Eddie? And I was thinking, what are you still doing there? Have you got homework?
Go on, Clary. I was like, oh, my, please just leave the room, dear. You're only little. Go on, Clary. It's like Clary can speak for herself, Mia.
Yeah.
I mean, I know she couldn't originally, but I found Mia really annoying.
And
actually,
what was that deal with Elizabeth and the brooch?
Elizabeth this week was, oh my God, I loved her so much. Not only was she like, Clary, because obviously you'll never be able to afford a brooch like this.
You're
so
quite
you
poor, aren't you?
Yes. You're terribly poor. And I was just rooting around. I was going to chuck it in the bin.
This is just a load of any old shit that I found. Yeah.
But obviously it's much nicer than anything you've got. But not only did she patronise Clary like that, she then went all sort of sex mad on the teenagers.
Yeah.
When she was talking to Ben, did you not like go, oh, what? Because they're related, obviously, aren't they? He's her nephew. And she was like, that's not all Vince is good at. And he went, oh. Did you not hear that? Did you not clock it? Because they were talking about Beth and Vince being cheeky. And she said something like, oh, he's not just cheeky in that department. Something really inappropriate.
I did clock that, but I was too busy trying to work out, had she ever, I've never heard her can't have a conversation with Ben or Josh or even Pip, I don't think. And all of a sudden it was like, I couldn't wait to see you. And I thought,
all of a sudden,
really?
They were talking about Lizzie's sex life together. Yeah. Nephew. And
I thought she was going to suggest a foursome at one stage. I was like, really? No.
And then she was like, yeah, because Rory, I mean, he literally couldn't get off the phone. And the next thing I know, he was asking me what I was wearing. And it all got a bit weird. I had to put the phone down. But I didn't even think that was quite like patronising as well. I just couldn't get him off the phone because, you know, I am, everyone's obsessed with me.
Yeah.
She was so, but I love it when Lizzie's like that because I just love her so.
There's a bit of
ego.
A diva in Lizzie that,
massive.
That kind of. It sort of sneaks out sometimes. Normally she's very sort of oh, very self-effacing, and then occasionally she has a little flick of the boa.
That's the thing. Deep down, she knows she's a bit of a sex god.
Yeah, she's a bit of all right.
Yeah,
she's the Nigella Lawson, isn't she?
She totally is, and I love it when she gets like that, and I love it when she's patronising. And Clary was like, I don't actually like it, Eddie. Nothing to do with the fact it's borrowed. It just looks shit. I've already got one. She could have easily said, oh, that's so nice of you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wear my mum's brooch.
Yeah. I know. I don't believe
Clary was a bit weak.
Yes. I mean, I know she's not the most assertive woman in the world, but she's definitely not that much of a pushover.
No, exactly.
And Yeah, it's like Elizabeth was wandering around thinking, who have I never spoken to? Oh, I know, I'll go and see Clary Grundy and give her a brooch.
Fobble this tat? Because you know what it's like? Whenever people like dump tat on you and they're like, because, you know, obviously I've just been, you know, you've got like loads of kids and they're all growing up. So here's a massive
bin bag of tat
that I can't be bothered to take the charity. And obviously you're super grateful because it's very helpful. But still, it's like...
And there'll be about four things that are actually useless. and the rest of it you then fob off on someone else. Hurry up and have a baby, friend, because I need to give you all the shite that I've accumulated.
And I'm such a terrible one for going, they've got absolute... We'll take everything. But anyway, we could just phone Lizzie next time we need...
We need some toot.
A little feather boa.
That's why God made
kinky to wear.
That's why God made school fates when they asked for, could we have donations for the bric-a-brac store? You're like, yes, yes, you can. Yeah. And 1,000 skips full of.
And then it just stays in
rubbish.
The PTA club.
Yes.
Because it's always, you always get the same things coming out at those school fair stores.
Yes. Yeah. No, nobody every still year wants that not pink bought. Teddy that for some reason is slightly sticky and no one's ever been able to work out why. I think we better do some emails, you know, because we've had many, many, many.
Hooray! Thank you.
This is from the Rev Jules.
Hi,
who
Rev
says,
Jules.
She has been moving house and starting a new job. But throughout it all, I've been grateful for your company in the form of the podcast, which continues to amuse and delight. And also, you said that not many people had written in, so I wanted to reassure you that this listener is still here, even when silent.
Hurrah!
Sod's Law, this says that this will be the week that you are deluged with emails. You're right! It has been.
But that's good!
But Julie, I was very glad we were with you on your move, and I'm sorry we were a bit crap about the wardrobe, and you'll probably find some broken plates, but that was Harry. I was convinced last week that Natasha was playing a crafty game. I thought that the whole move... This is exactly what I thought, by the way.
Yes, yes.
I thought the whole moving Summer Orchard to Bridge Farm plan had been concocted by Tom and his parents without consulting Natasha properly. Beyond a throwaway, oh, that might be a good idea on her part. So after her very reasoned objections to the clan's proposals, when she started prowling around... In my head, she knew that the clan would never agree to any of her proposals. She'd therefore be completely justified in saying that the whole plan clearly wasn't going to work and be able to go back to the admittedly less than ideal commuting, but free from interference. Seems I was barking up the wrong fruit tree. Oh, well. And thank goodness for Maya, she says. At least one member of the Grundy extended family has some emotional intelligence and sense. Yes, that's exactly. And I think that would have been better, actually. Although but now...
We were all thinking, wasn't it?
Yeah. But now she's had the Barney with Pat. I'm quite excited about her spending more time at Bridge Farm.
But also, what is sawdust or whatever that
Sawyers.
Factory is? What is that? So is that the sausage factory?
Yes, I think it's I think it's further out of the village.
Sawyers Farm, next to Arkwright Hall,
which apparently has been done up.
I know, I tweeted that to you.
Oh, did you? Oh, sorry.
No, I didn't tweet it. Cosmo tweeted it to us.
Thank you, Cosmo. Yes, Arkwright Hall has been done up by Lewis.
The Landmark Trust.
Landmarked it by Lewis,
Lewis Carmichael. You know, he's called Lewis Carmichael. Yeah.
Uncle Lewis.
Very close relation. Yeah.
Uncle Lewis. And it's all smarty pants now and is now for renting out.
I'd quite like to rent it out, actually.
Well, we should. We'll have our.
Well, Mr. Newby could, couldn't he?
He could.
He's very close by.
Yeah.
He could go and be the new caretaker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea, actually. We can't keep giving him new jobs. He's going to expire.
I get so annoyed.
He's exhausted.
That I found a funny line was. Oh, this is actually not very funny. But it made me laugh when Natasha was like, to Fallon, you know, well, obviously I'm bringing my orchard here. We're going to have to cut down a few trees. And I was like, hang on a minute, love.
So she's bringing the orchard.
It went over my head because I thought she was bringing the orchard, but then she said she had to cut the trees down.
Okay.
It made no sense. I think she's just bringing a massive shed.
Yes, it did sound like a large shed, didn't it?
I don't think there's any trees to be seen. I think they're just, what's it called? Battery chickens. It's just battery apples.
So these fruit farms they're made by robots. They've never been near a tree. It's like, you know, orange juice from concentrate, that sort of thing. And it's just
Come on, Pat. I thought it'd be the perfect brand with your organic veg boxes. Some of these 3D printed apples that I've
neon
turned into
orange.
Juice.
That yeah,
God.
Oh, what's the new job anyway? Rev?
Well, I'm presuming she's still revving.
Yeah.
Revving like a small moped. I don't know what she's doing. Neil Gaiman, this is.
Not Neil Gaiman.
No.
The famous.
He's busy being famous, doing signing books.
Gaiman is just as welcome.
I've been wanting to email in again for a while, but I generally listen to the omnibus, so haven't usually heard any of the week's Archers before you record, so I never get round to it. Then I realise, though, that this actually doesn't stop Harriet taking part, so it shouldn't stop me either. Woo!
Rude. That's true.
I still absolutely love the podcast. I really look forward to hearing you two wang on, chief, about the Archers each week. It just feels as though I'm afforded a window into your brilliant friendship on a weekly basis. I think that I've comfortably averaged one full-on belly laugh per episode so far. And we can hear you, Neil. So please keep up the good work. We will do that. Yes. And he says he'll send in something more Archers related next time.
Oh, no. We like everything. We don't need the Archers. I mean, we just might as well talk chat. About anything on this podcast.
Yeah.
We like all those, you know, travels across America, sleeping under bridges.
Well, we've got a new bridges. One. Ooh. This is Margaret in North Carolina.
Hi, Margaret.
Thank you so much for your wonderful podcast. I don't know anyone else who listens to the Archers, so I look forward to it every week. Oh. I had to write to confess that I also think Adam is hot.
Yay.
Please don't tell my husband, she says.
Because he also thinks
we must. Okay, hello listeners, are any of you in North Carolina? If so, make yourselves known, because Margaret wants somebody to talk to the Archers.
Does Margaret listen to the Archers while lying in a hammock on a porch and drinking pink lemonade?
Wouldn't that be lovely? Yes.
Well,
she's going to tell us now that she's in charge of an abattoir or something.
Yeah.
Or she makes shoe
polish.
Bring
me my lemonade. Is that North Carolina? Is that
South Carolina?
I don't know. So I think of Tennessee's Williams, but I'm sure that's probably wrong. What is it? Tennessee Williams.
Oh, right. This is Tom Peach.
You can tell I'm an actor. Hi, Tom.
I thought to add to your joy, I'd send you... Oh, he's now calling him... G'day, you beautiful Sheilas and Mr. Newbo. Newbo!
Hey, Newbo!
I thought to add to your joy, I would send you three stings to be included in your repertoire. The Kookaburra, recorded in our garden.
Oh, lush.
The sound of a koala having sex. Koalas are riddled with chlamydia, he says. So there's that.
Oh, my God!
And finally, my favourite, the mournful crow, recorded by me on the top of the great Illawarra escarpment.
Sort of getting a bit dark.
I know. Mournful crows. Right, so I will play them in some stage.
Okay. Shall I just pretend I've heard them now?
Shall I
do my reaction to each one?
If you like, but okay, it won't make any sense one? Because oh, I'm the, not going to oh, yeah. put them in.
The Kookaburra.
Yes.
Kookaburra sits in the... Oh, okay. Here's the Kookaburra. Oh! Here's the chlamydia-ridden koala. Ew. And what other than the crow?
He says, I cannot comment whether Adam is hot or not, but I usually get a brief hit of audio Viagra when Natasha comes on. However, she is meant to, what does he say? She is meant to be a leading business person, an entrepreneur. So she would know that it would cost her approximately $500,000 to build a food-grade ready shed and office from scratch, assuming a 10-year depreciation and a very generous £1 per litre margin on her fruity slop. Then she needs to sell an additional 50,000 litres per year to break even. And that's being optimistic. However, I have worked out how she's A, picking her apples, and B, making money. Natasha is Victoria. The clip-clop isn't heels. It is symbolising the horses. Run, Adam, run.
Oh, my God. I loved it when Fallon kept going, in your factory. And Natasha kept, food processing plant. Yeah, in your factory. Food processing plant. Oh, yes.
Steve.
Last week we thought Vicky was Victoria.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Natasha being Victoria would be good.
Steve Barry said, Harriet, you trying to come to terms with how Natasha would find room to put an orchard in an orchard had me in stitches.
I I don't know why.
Elizabeth Bartle said, I was very concerned that Harriet found herself getting lost in Ambridge, so I thought these official maps might help. I was also very concerned at your lack of emails this week, and so this email should kill two goldfinches or otherwise with one stone. Your podcast makes me chuckle loudly on my Sunday walk. Please don't stop. We won't stop. I'll forward you, Harriet, it's the Radio 4 Archers wallpaper map of Ambridge, so you can figure out where everything is.
What? Can you actually paste it on your wall?
No, like computer wallpaper.
Oh.
I mean, feel free to print it off about 27,000 times and use it to...
I could turn it into a little feature wall in the toilet. I'll work on that.
Okay. And Catherine Palazzola.
Hey, ciao, Catherine.
She's in Missouri.
Catherine. In Missouri. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Mm. She's not in misery. She's in Missouri.
With the mournful crow.
But she's Italiana, no?
She said, first, must tell you your show brings me such joy. Second, we are watching an episode of the US show Frasier, and there was just mention of lounge pants. So obviously, I had to take a picture of our television and email it to you. They look like regular pants, but maybe softer. There's even a crease. Very Justin. Here's the photo. Bisous, Katie in Missouri. Thank you so much, Katie.
Batchy, Katie.
He is actually, they are lounge pants. Okay, I'm sending you the lounge pants.
Yes, send me the lounge pants.
And then at the end of this week's show, you are going to enjoy, whether you like it or not, the 14-second Baroque Archers.
Oh, I cannot wait. Yeah. Obviously, we don't have any technology for me to listen to that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we probably
do. Here's my reaction to it, Lucy. Oh, my God, that was amazing. I think that was sort of wowed enough.
Mm.
Ah. Oh, my God, that was incredible. I mean, okay, I'll work on it. I'll work on the reaction. Because I know it's going to be absolutely brilliant, so it's quite hard to act how before I hear it.
Okay. Yes. He says, Matt says, I would love to skip the Light Fantastic with Harriet, but I fear I would not be a worthy partner. I was so pleased that she especially liked the Latin version. I am on Twitter, but as I was a teacher in a school a while back, I've used the handle Fluffy Ollie. I believe that I've already followed
I can see why that wouldn't be appropriate for a school.
No, because he can't use his real name.
No.
Yes. So, I believe that I've already followed your tweets, but then again, I am something a Luddite with social media. He says he's looking forward to hearing it on Sunday's broadcast.
Oh,
so, I'm going
to
find Fluffy Ollie now.
Yes, me too. I can't find him.
Fluffy, it's O-L-L-I-E. This is nice, isn't it, listeners, getting to listen to us do a Google search for something.
It's a shame we haven't got, like... Oh, here he is.
Fluffy Ollie!
Yeah, with the flags! Yay!
Hooray!
Oh, cool! Oh, I thought that was him, but it's Gary Barlow.
What?
the first thing that comes up is a picture of Gary Barlow. I was like, ooh, ciao. But I'm sure that's probably not Gary Barlow. That is Matt.
That is Matt. Yeah, it's just Gary Barlow is continually being stopped by people saying, excuse, aren't you Matt Rodriguez Payne? Happens a lot.
Fantastico. Yeah, cannot wait to hear that.
Yes, so that is the end of the emails. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed that because I love the emails because I can just sit back, drink my wine, eat my pistachios.
I can hear you eating your pistachios.
Oh, sorry about that.
Crunchy, cracky.
I thought the listeners might enjoy it.
Mm.
Hang on. Can you hear this? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Well, not really.
Yes. Enough. I don't need to hear it again or closer. Do you eat lollies with your teeth? Like your front teeth?
No, I suck them.
Good.
What?
You know, some
you think
people
I just crunch into them.
Yeah, some people really weirdly eat them like eating,
no,
chewing.
No, it's then it doesn't weird. Last, though, does it?
No.
You want
and
last.
Also, it makes your teeth go all owie because they are sensitive.
Ew. And then all fuzzy. Ew.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about our exciting meetup this week.
Oh yes, we had an exciting meetup this week, everybody.
Because it feels like it was so long ago.
Yeah, we've already had two RSVPs for our live thing. So that's two people. We need one more person, otherwise it's going to be more of us than there are of you, which isn't ideal. So
because yeah. on the, you know my favourite podcast, Parenting Hell?
Yeah.
So Josh Widdicombe and Rob Beckett today announced that they're going to be doing a podcast live. And I was like, ha, we beat you to it. Theirs is at the Hackney Empire.
Right.
Yeah.
Ours could be in Hackney.
Could be in
outside
Hackney.
Outside the Empire cinema. How about that?
Well, two people, that's all right, because we could have a little cozy...
we could do it in a Hackney cab. How about that?
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. We could do it on the train.
Yeah, on the Circle yeah. Line, we'll just go round and round and round.
Yeah.
Mm. I hate the Circle Line. I always get lost on Circle Line.
Well, thanks. You make sure you pre-book your ticket.
Yes.
To avoid disappointment.
Yes. Now, what we want to do is, do any of you lot know where we can... Oh, actually, we've already asked this, haven't we?
We've already asked, yes.
But yes. We're going to play in now a little recording what we did when we was all together. Very excitingly.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Yes.
We weren't
this
drunk.
Was just after Mr. Newby had thrown his glasses at Nick Robinson and then given the waitress biscuits.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Lucy is here and Harriet is here and someone else is here. Who else is here?
Is it me?
It is you. And who are you?
I'm Mr. Newby.
Yes.
I've seen Mr. Newby's face. But he has got a mask on, to be
yes.
fair.
He's got a, always a mask. Up. Yeah. And we've given biscuits to the waitress and Mr. Newby's thrown his glasses at Nick Robinson, who was sitting at the next table.
I did.
Yeah.
Although Lucy thought Nick nice Robinson man. Was Robert Pesto.
Yes, yes, I got very confused.
Robert Pesto.
And we're having an official meeting.
We're having a proper podcast meeting. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've made it official because the tax man's paying.
Yes, we've made some plans. Mm-hmm. Harriet has scribbled some things in pencil and ticked them.
I've ticked three things in my notebook.
Yeah, and we've had a smoothie and we're being very, very businesslike.
None of us had an Egg McMuffin.
Nope, we are very...
or the equivalent.
We are official podcast business people now, having an official podcast business.
And this
meeting.
Is really interesting content for the podcast.
Yes, we have been talking about content renewal for obvious reasons.
Not contract renewal.
Content renewal. So, Mr. Newby, how are you? Because Mr. Newby is not used to London. How are you enjoying London, Mr. Newby?
It's very big and new and exciting and also a bit scary.
Why is it scary?
Because I'm a simple country boy,
yes.
you see, so I don't really understand how any of this works.
To be fair, you did bring your own biscuits to a restaurant.
Well, you bought the biscuits. Blame the biscuits on me.
And then gave them to the waitress.
She was very happy to have a biscuit, I'd like to point out.
Yes, he hasn't got the hang of eating out at all. He brings his own food and then gives it to the waitress. But anyway, so we thought we'd let you in on our executive meeting, listeners. I bet you're delighted.
Do come and join us next
yes,
time.
Yes, yes, yes. And we'd like some suggestions, please, for nice pubs in London that would let us do a live recording.
It genuinely would be good to get some suggestions.
Yes, if anyone knows any nice landladies or landlords that would let us do that, that would be fabulous. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
End of meeting. Any other business?
Bye.
Bye. Apologies? Yes, our apologies, generally.
Yes, I definitely apologise.
Yeah, okay, for everything. Bye.
It was so nice.
It was lovely.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yes, and I bought Harriet a present, which I left in the hotel room, and she bought me a present just to annoy me because it was bigger and better than the present I bought her. And in fact, gave it to me and said, I got this because I thought it would annoy you.
So I knew it would guilt trip you if you hadn't bought mine, which it did. So it did the job.
Yep.
And
well done, you.
Have you written any notes in it yet?
I have, actually.
Oh, gosh. What did you write?
I wrote...
Shopping list?
No, I can't remember what I wrote.
Did you write all our exciting new ideas for our exciting
No, because you did
new...
that. You were in charge of minutes.
Know.
Of the meeting.
I'm a bit worried. I haven't seen that notebook since last Monday.
God.
Hopefully we'll remember a couple of
Is it
of
still
them.
In the Riding House Cafe next to Nick Robinson?
Nick nicked it.
Give us it back, Nick. Stop pissing around without it. It's important business. High pressure, high high important,
it'll be leaked,
high important
Lucy.
Business information in there. Yes. Oh God, yes, not that again. We'll be on the front page of the Times again.
No, that was really good fun.
It was. Lovely, lovely.
Because anyway, basically nothing happened in the Arches, really, did it? Except, you're right, the reversal storyline, which was they had a ballroom, then they had no venue.
Mm. Yeah. God's sake. Do we think that this Adam getting on terrifically well at Bridge Farm thing is going to stick? And also, is he going to go into business with Natasha, do you think?
Oh, right.
Because he does fruits, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll rephrase that. He, and that was entirely incidental.
You know, he's got his fingers in the soil.
He has. Yep.
He's very good at seeds.
Yes.
Seeding.
Spreading them.
This is not quite working.
Yes. So he could combine the fruit growing thing mm-hmm. with Natasha's thing, and they get on well mm-hmm. together, so they could go into, she could share the business with him, or he could be her manager or something. And
that's a great idea. I think you're very clever at spotting potential storylines.
Yeah, but that's because they're miles off, you see.
No, you quite often get it right, Lucy.
It's like looking at a cloud 12 miles away and saying, it might rain later. And everyone goes, oh. Then when it rains later, they go, oh, yes, you spotted it. And really, it could have gone the other way, or it couldn't have happened till Tuesday, you know.
So. I guess there's probably a 50-50 chance.
Yes.
But it's a good, I like that, that's interesting.
If yes, I was writing it, that's what I'd do.
I know, I don't know why you're not writing it, to be honest. But anyway, especially after this week, which is a little bit dull, wasn't it, I thought. But I thought that, oh yes, because surely by now Ian's getting a bit antsy about
what the hell Adam is doing.
Adam bringing home the bacon, because presumably Adam's on like £9 an hour, and you know, they've got nursery fees.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think his job picking apples would be covering those nursery fees, to be honest.
But he's now in the shop as well, you know.
Ooh.
Trying to deal with all their customers.
He really likes it there, doesn't he?
He does.
He loves it.
He can just swan around waffling. Yeah. And no one actually says, what is it you do again? You know, justify your position. Tell me how you're supposed, how am I just supposed to believe that you know everything about, you know?
Exactly. And Tony's a bit enthralled to him anyway, isn't he?
So, you can see why Tom's annoyed, really.
Yeah. Oh my God, totally. I'd be furious with Adam if he was just swanning around.
Fuming.
Even when he said, he managed to even make that line where he said, oh, this seems managerial, I better make a move. Even that came across as a little bit patronising, I thought.
Yeah.
He's funny, little
organic hobbits, you.
Yes,
thinking
exactly.
You're talking about business.
I mean, the thing is, guys, keep it organic, keep it seedy, but on the other hand, keep it macho. Do you know what I'm saying?
The most important thing is shed loads of cash.
Yeah.
And Tony's like, shed loads of what?
Oh, I like sheds. I can put my trains in them.
Oh, dear. And what did you, I mean, did you agree with me that Rory is...
Oh, God,
having
yes.
a whale of a time.
I thought it was silly, Jenna. I mean, obviously, no, of course, Jenny, poor Jenny. I do feel really sorry for her because she is, you know, they didn't leave on good terms. So it is more difficult than if your teenager just goes off and you don't really, but because of the circumstances in which he left.
Yeah.
But give him a break. He hasn't been gone that long.
Mm.
And I think as whoever was in the Archers said, when he runs out of cash,
he'll
be back.
Yeah.
So don't sweat it.
Yeah. I quite like the rapprochement between Tony and Jennifer.
Yeah, it was good to have them talking
nicely,
actually, and brotherly and sisterly.
Yeah.
But what I didn't quite get, because I wasn't really concentrating this week, was, for a change, was, Jenny and Brian did go to London. Everyone went to London this week, didn't they? Did they, though? I thought they were going to go.
And then she phoned him
and then he was like, no, don't come.
Yeah, and then, don't come. And then she cancelled it and then she got invited to go to the bloody Borchester Bounce thing.
For her. Yeah, so they didn't go.
No.
No, okay, fine.
Although it did amuse me as parents of a young child, you've got such an ace up your sleeve when you say...
Yes,
you know, but they've just settled down for a your guest has just settled down for a glass of wine and a nice chat, and you go, actually, he's asked if you'd like to do bedtime story. Yeah. Would you mind? And they go, oh, I'd love to. And they're thinking, oh, bloody hell, I don't want to. I just want to sit here and have my gin. What are you talking about?
I was thinking Adam's really like sussed it, hasn't he? He's like, honestly, Mum, we're not going to ask you to go into the ball pit.
Yeah, it's not us that's asked you.
Little Sandra says she really wants Gwenny Jenny to take him in all.
So and Adam and I are just going to pop round the corner to Les Cerceres and order the
And we'll
the
pick
hot
him
dogs.
Up about five? Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He needs a nappy change all day. And if you could feed him lentil puree, because he loves
mean,
that.
I don't want you, Mum. I'd much rather you had a little rest at home.
A little Shanta. Oh, Gwenny, Gwenny.
I know, Jenny's going to be knackered. What a horrible day to have to go to soft play with a child who's not even your own.
Soft play is like it's like a fetish club. It just stinks of rubber and wee. It's horrible.
And it's so stressful because you just lose your child.
Yeah, they all look the same children as well, all of them.
And there's so many bits in the thing. I've so many times in my life, it seems, I've been like desperately like climbing up a rope ladder trying to find a child in some rubbery contraption.
Darling, where are you? Are you all right, darling? Just wave, scream if you can hear Mummy.
Oh, child, can you just go down that tunnel and
is there a boy down there? And they go, what is he wearing? And you go, and you instantly forget what your child looks like.
Yeah, you know I do what they're wearing. And then it turns out they're just covered in balls. That's why you can't see them.
Or
they're sunken into
they're
that
sitting
pit
in the cafe eating chips, forgetting when you've forgotten that, you know, you were, they were on their way back because you were on your way in.
I don't think there's anything more horrible.
No, well, Joe Brand said it manages to be incredibly boring and incredibly stressful at the same time.
There's
not many things that do that, really.
No.
No.
You can't... you literally can't have a nice time.
No.
Defy.
Also, the food is all horrible.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Everything is orange and sticky.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. It's a horrible day out.
Yeah. Anyway, good luck, Jenny, darling.
Why wouldn't they just go to... I mean, just leave Xander at home and go to... Which were they? Were they going to the Cesaros?
They were going to the Quattro Stagioni.
Oh, the Quattro Stagioni. Oh, they're going to Quattro Stagioni, not the Cesaros.
The stage one. Quattro Stage One.
Yeah, a good pizza there. All right. Oh, no, they're having hot dogs. Anyway, whatevs. Yep. Leave Xander at home.
Yeah.
Get Jenny to babies. Put Strictly on for Jenny. She'll look after him. Yeah. You guys go out.
Or even CBeebies. She'll probably be happy with that.
Also, how can they afford that day when Adam is
earning
apple picking?
£1.92 a day.
Because that is not a cheap day
out. They probably pay him in leeks or something as well, don't they?
Well,
the spring onions you can stag home with.
He did say, I'm just going to take these parsnips down to the shop and see what I can get for them. And I was like, is he just sort of like picking? Every so often he'll go down to the village shop with 5 carrots and barter for them. What's going on?
He's
I thought
selling,
he was picking
he's
apples.
Now, by this stage, he's now wearing animal skins. There goes Adam in his wheelbarrow.
Occasionally they say something so farcical that it's just like, they're literally living in a parallel universe.
It's just, you're going along with the picture and then something strikes and you're like, what? And it's like a lightning strike across the picture and you think, hey, and you have to reassess everything that you've just,
It was that thing about like packing winter leaves as well.
Yeah. Oh, we said these veg boxes look a bit sorry for themselves. I thought they'd make them more exciting with a few winter leaves. And I thought, oh, mate, you've got to go a bit further than that to make them exciting.
Yeah, because Adam's taking all the parsnips down to the shop.
Try an avocado or some tomatoes that have been flown in from Sicily.
A packet of bananas, at least.
Yes. A few... eye-watering the expensive nectarines that have travelled halfway round the world to get there and are so coated in pesticide, you're going to have to cut through them with a knife. But anyway.
Put a pomegranate in.
Yeah.
Because
just tell people it came from Penny Hassett or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The well-known pomegranate.
You don't have to put packaging around it.
Pomegranate farm.
We do have a pomegranate tree.
What?
Incredibly. There's a pomegranate tree in our garden and 1 year, it made pomegranates.
Wow.
Oh, honestly, it was amazing. I never knew what the tree was because it never made any fruit. It just had these sort of like erotic looking flowers. And then I like looked behind it and there was like pomegranates growing. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
But you couldn't eat them. They were sour, obviously. But it was amazing. And so they do actually, they are in season now. Now really? Is when they come out. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, I'll
so
send
if you
those
want to
way,
buy an Ottolenghi
yeah, if you want your Ottolenghi
it will be
box.
The only thing that you have when he says some, you know, oh, carob sticks that you've retrieved from the arse end of a mountain halfway, you know, across the Hindu Kush. Oh, yes, right, I'll go to the shop and get that then.
Do they do...
And pomegranates, and you can go, ah-ha-ha, Ottolenghi, I have actually got them, thank you.
Do they do recipe boxes?
Who?
Bridge Farm, of course, obviously.
Recipe boxes?
You know, like all the, you know, Abel and Cole and Rupert, they all do like, so now you can order your veg or whatever, but you can also order...
But it would only be soup, wouldn't it? If it's Bridge Farm, that's all they eat.
Yes, it would. It would be, just put a food processor.
It would be some of that cheese
in the box.
And a soup. And soup, that's it. Soup and cheese. Cheesy soup. Soup fondue. Soup sandwich. That's it.
Got to love them.
And what do we think about Linda being God?
Inevitable, mm-hmm. But good casting.
Yeah, and I'm so glad. You know, just try and rule Krusty out of anything that has got any potential risk involved in it.
Oh, but when she like had to go and have a cry and lose, I actually wanted to have a cry for her because like actually, you know, when like everything's got on top of you. And then, Linda was so annoying. And I just thought, God, that poor cast. That is hideous.
I didn't realise they were all there.
No, but that was funny.
I thought it was only Roy and Kirsty. So when she said, come along, everybody, follow me. I thought, everybody? It's only Roy and Kirsty.
It was really...
It
was very badly done, that, wasn't it? Because it was very intimate, that whole thing. And then it was like... Come along, everybody!
And then you realise there's like 300 people listening over her shoulder. And,
but they didn't bother doing what they usually... They didn't bother putting a few like...
There was no mumble behind. It was suddenly like this completely silent group, like zombies just
it's
drifting
It's always like
around.
That at the rehearsal scenes, isn't it? We've been there so often.
Well, usually we have... At later stages, we have Robert Snell hammering, don't we? That's how... And he never says anything. She just shouts, Robert! Are you going to be long doing that? And that's how we know it's Robert. Robert and his magical hammer.
But now she's asked Oliver for the ballroom for this Passion Safari.
Has she?
Yeah, Oliver didn't.
You know, a Passion Safari sounds a lot more exciting than it actually is, isn't it?
But that's what it's going to be, isn't it? Right, they're in the ballroom. Also, the ballroom, the ballroom sounds great, doesn't it?
I know.
I want a party. Well, I mean, also, you don't have to do your own clearing up.
Yes. Although she did, though.
Because she said she did. Yeah, you're right.
Poor old Clary. You can imagine her being like one of those people that cannot wait until you finish so they can put it in the dishwasher. So she'd be standing there. Everyone would be dancing and she'd be standing there with a mop and bucket looking at her watch, waiting for everyone to stop so she could give the floor a quick once over. She wouldn't enjoy it.
No, but she wouldn't.
It's, you know, she said there wouldn't be enough of us to use the space properly. But I think one of my favourite things when I was little was my great aunt and uncle used to be the caretakers of the village hall, village hall near where we lived. And they would let us in there when they were cleaning up and we would just run up and down on the skiddy floor.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yes. It's like when you're the lucky chosen one to stay at a child's birthday party after everyone's gone or before and you get the whole run of the place.
Yes.
And it is brilliant. You're totally
I think running around a ballroom, having all that room to whiz around, be fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, they could have got Jolene's band in there.
Oh my God.
They could have had a great time.
Yeah.
Well, a band.
They could have had Jolene's band, or they could have had a great time.
And here's another one. This goes out to the happy couple. It's Good as Hell by Lizzo. I do my hair toss. Check my nails.
Baby, how you doing? Who runs the world? Who runs the world?
Yeah, I would have enjoyed that.
Yes, well, sadly, you're not going to have it because they're all going to be crammed into the bloody cider shed. By the way, there was a bit that made me go a bit, when Eddie... Oliver said, oh, perhaps I shouldn't come then if it's family only. And Eddie just went, what are you on about? You are family.
Yeah.
And it was just so nice and so unforced and so unsentimental. And I just thought, oh, lovely. That's so nice.
Oh, Lucy. Yes. I was just like, yeah.
Silly old git. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
yeah. And now we're going to Bridge Farm to help Natasha pick her new HQ. HQ.
I know. I was going to say, that's what she called it.
But we, everybody says it now except us. We're like the only people that say H.
I still put two spaces after a full stop. I'm so old-fashioned. I'm never letting go of that. Never.
I do as well. I thought that was the law.
No, it's not. Apparently, you can't be arrested for not doing it. I've tried. There's no end of people I've... The police have told me to stop ringing them now. They're not interested.
Okay, Fabrice, it's too small, a bit cobwebby, and it has no panache whatsoever. Can you do anything with it?
Well, I can, darling, but he's your husband.
Not Tom, this shed. I want it to scream artisanal. Lots of wood, natural light, rosy apples glinting in a shaft of sun, you know.
And what about the old man crying on the floor in the corner? Are you keeping him? I mean, he's an interesting feature, but I'm not sure he screams craftsmanship. Although, it does look quite organic.
Oh, that's Tony. Don't worry about him. It'll be nice for your toys to have a new house, won't it, Tony? They can go choo-choo in all sorts of new places. The yard, maybe. Or the bin. Anyway, pop into the house, love. Ask Pat for a cup of tea. Off you go. You're making the floorboards all soggy.
Oh, it's very Heidi, isn't it? Would you consider a dirndl?
Thanks, but I'm trying to give them up. So, I am loving the energy in here, to be fair. The only trouble is I have to cross that minging yard to get in it. I'm on my fourth pair of Zara kitten heels as it is, all covered in shit. Now, if I had something in the orchard where the tea rooms are, I could get straight out of the Range Rover and into the office. Well, see what you think.
Oh, yes, I can see what you... Ah! Natasha! What is that big shaggy thing with the wild eyes?
Where? Oh, morning, Pat.
Oh, I thought it was an old grandma goat.
You could have guessed, Febreze. Goats don't have binoculars. She's keeping an eye on me. It's the restraining order next, but I don't want to ruin Christmas.
So, what are we thinking here?
Get off my land!
Oh, hello, little angry person. Keep your hairs on. We are just looking for new orchard office venues.
Well, keep moving, Mr. Grand Designs. This is my tea room.
But it is a field with goats in and thistles. It is not a room.
There are tables, look.
Planks?
Plank tables. If you come any closer, I will not be responsible for my actions.
Don't you threaten... Oh, I love what you have done with your eyebrows.
Good, aren't they? Lamination. Pricey, but we're... No! Don't you try and distract me.
But why so angry?
It's my default setting. I do. Angry, sexy and tired.
What about stylish and eye-powered? Would you consider that?
Eh? Oh, go on, I'm listening.
Well, my client, Miss Natasha Kloppy, when she has her new office, may well be looking for a feisty, go-getting assistant who can give it all the glamour in photo shoots.
Oh, I would love that. Would I have a desk?
Of course, not a plank either.
Could I tell people I'll get back to them later because I'm back to back all day?
Essential.
I'm in.
Perfect. I'll tell her. So it is all Unking Dory about the tea field now, then?
Oh, yeah. Concrete it over. I'll go and tell Fallon I'm handing my notice in, and then I'm going to practice telling people I'm working on an enhanced process framework document.
Oh, my God, Mrs. Lady, you are going to smash all the things. You sound like Succession. Go and wash your hands, though, darling. You have a little bit of chicken on it. Natasha, darling, we are good to go on the tree field. I think something that blends in architecturally. I'm thinking steel, glass, and an enormous statue of me.
They will be another podcast up next week, so subscribe to us on iTunes and you'll never miss an episode. But before that, we have a competition.
Competition!
Jackie Crofty sent us this most amazing video of her little dog,
which is just adorable. It's cute.
I think it's like a remote control puppet or something, because it's just too cute to be a real thing.
It's like when, you know, those little toy dogs?
Yes. Turn them on and they go, and jump, and they jump up and down, and then then the batteries fall out and everyone cries. Anyway.
Yeah, then you throw the batteries out the window.
But Jackie's was nicer than that. It was adorable. And as the theme tune played, it whizzed around dancing to the theme tune in a very exciting and excited manner. And it was just adorable. So then we had someone sent us Edna Cloud, who said, oh, we trained our ferrets to jig to this a long while back.
We didn't see photographic evidence of that.
No. And who else?
Cutie Kitty Catty.
Somebody sent a lovely cat called Fred, who apparently is totally enthralled.
Steve did.
On Ambridge.
Steve's cat.
Steve's cat. Thank you, Steve. And Gabriel Herbert said, I know someone whose dog was bred by a fan of the Archers. Said dog still gets excited when he hears the theme tune. And he's now six. That's so sweet. And BBC The Archers have said that they will peruse the entries.
We haven't actually confirmed that with them, but I'm sure, they've said
it. Now we've said it, they'll have to.
Not only will they have to peruse, they'll have to judge.
Yep. And also Claire said that Lenny, I don't know whether Lenny is a cat, a dog, a goldfish or a mule, Lenny sings to the theme tune, but you'll have to wait till Sunday. So she's going to record Lenny singing to the Archers theme tune on the omnibus.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So get your
we need a name for it. We need like a, you know, sort of punny old name.
It's a punny old game.
Pets
win prizes. I think that's been done.
I know. Barkwick Green.
Get in.
Something along those lines.
Yes.
Maybe not that.
No, that will do. Because then it could also be Barkwick Green.
Barkwick Green.
Yeah.
Jigs. Yeah, whatever.
Can't think of a cat one.
We'll come up with a name.
Yeah. So if you want to enter Barkwick Green. It's not this. It will be judged next Sunday. So you've got time to train your pet.
Just have a little fish, wouldn't it?
Yeah. If you've got...
And if you don't have a pet, Lucy, because let's make this inclusive, go into a park.
Or find just go into someone else's house. Break into someone else's house.
Yeah. Find a pet.
Yeah.
Or a snail or an insect.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that moves, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It has got to be an animal, though, not a person.
Yeah.
And definitely no one dressed up as an animal, because that's just weird. We do not want those videos.
That's just
you.
For another podcast. I've got a cat. I mean, we never see it, but I'm going to see if I can train it to do something.
You've got a cat?
Yeah, we've got a cat. Yeah, Dennis.
Oh,
but
yes.
But we never see him. He's a mystery unto his own.
I think technically then he's not your cat. If you've got a cat and you never see it, it's not your cat.
No, we see him in the morning for food and in the evening for food. And then he just goes about his business.
Okay.
He's like a really cool cat, you know, proper London cat.
It's because you've got 17 children. He's thinking, yeah, I know.
Poor Dennis. Mm. And he's like, all his ears are sort of falling off because he's always in fights. And But he's very resilient and very nice.
He'd have to be to live with you lot, to be perfectly honest.
He never listens to the Archers.
Doesn't he?
Never.
That's because his ears have all been bitten off. He can't hear anything. True, he's deaf. True. Mutton Dave. Mutton
I'm not going to force him to dance. That'll be cool.
Dance!
Yes, maybe we should have the RSPCA sort of involved in safeguarding and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I'll give him a ring. Oh, I can't wait to see these entries, Lucy. I hope we get more than four.
Yes. Yes, four would be good.
Look, can you just, even if you don't have a pet, so we're not humiliated, please just send, even if you find the video on Twitter and put the Archers music underneath it. I mean, like, find it on YouTube, put the Archers music up, doctor it.
Yeah.
And send it in.
Yeah. We don't. We're not that fussy and we won't be checking, just to make it absolutely clear.
We just want abundant. We want myriad entries.
Yes. And so does BBC The Archers, because they don't have enough to do over there. Clearly.
Hello, BBC. Hello, you said you'd...
It's Amber John. Amber.
You said you'd... you put emojis in... okay.
Hello? Hello?
Thank you,
hello,
for, thank you for your time. Thank you.
Love you. yes, and please give us a review. And we will give you big kisses.
God, we don't ask for much, do we?
I know, we want kisses. No, we don't want kisses. Other people want kisses.
No, you give the kisses.
Yep. And we want a review and we want pictures of their animals dancing to Bark Quick Green. Oh,
but mostly we want venue ideas as well.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, if so anyone has a venue,
look, we can't
example,
do everything. We cannot do everything, guys. It's us three, and there's loads of you. So someone give us a hand.
Someone must have a ballroom.
Yes.
That we can,
and if not, borrow. Knock one up. Just a bit of stainless steel and some corrugated iron, like Natasha's.
Or put some mistletoe in your shed. And
some
really
winter
pretty.
Greenery.
I was like, oh my god, they've got 3 days.
Yeah.
To like sweep out the ferret shit.
Yeah.
And you know, paint it, make it lovely.
Yeah.
But of course they'll do it. It'll be like changing rooms.
Yeah.
Welcome to cider shed changing. Yeah.
Don't touch that; it'll fall off.
What do you think about this lovely pink colour, Clary?
Oh, it wasn't quite what I was expecting, Carol.
I actually quite fancy the ballroom now. I think I'm going there.
It's a beautiful hot pink that Lawrence has chosen for you. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yep, good.
Yes. Flashy, flashy.
Oh, dear. Flashy, flashy.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, I
don't. No, the cursor is flashing on the bit that you're now supposed to say.
Sorry.
I like the way when I said flashy, flashy, though, you just immediately replied with flashy, flashy without knowing what the hell I was talking about.
I thought it was your little pet name.
What, for you? Flashy, flashy. That would be weird.
Flashy Hattie.
Flashy Hattie.
Okay. In the meantime, if you'd like to contact us, you can email ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com and give us your comments or any questions for Mr. Newbie. Not for us. Don't email us anything.
That's a waste of time. That is. We are at on Ambridge on Twitter, or you can follow Mr. Newbie on Twitter at NewbieCouch.
And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all of us and our pets. And have a lovely week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.